Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
It's a special Tuesday edition of the Monday Gray Area.
Monday, Monday, so good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday morning, couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes, so good to me.
Kind of feels like a Monday.
Monday morning.
Yeah,
but irritable.
It's not. Joel here in Gray. We usually do a little gray area Monday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour, but I was called away to judicial duties yesterday, so I was unavailable. So we'll do it today here.
Judicial duties? I think you've just been made illegal.
People have tried to.
Yeah,
several times.
I think there's laws in place to ignore you now. Never before have been.
How we doing, Gray?
I meant it when I said I'm irritable. I've been grumpy the last couple days. I think that's part of being 30, though. And especially as I approach 31, grumpiness.
I think we get to this point in the season where we're just like, we're so ready for the seasons to change into summer. I think, even if we don't realize it in the back of our minds, our brains are like, are we doing this? Are we going to continue to do this? Cold and all that stuff?
That was a tactful move there, Joel. I told you I'm grumpy, and you assume it must be the weather. Yeah, yes. It must be Gray's hibernation has ended, and he's just dusting off the cave.
So my son has pointed out to me that I'm getting old. That he says, I think, in his words, I'm old. But he says, getting older, a lot of discussions are about the weather. You know, whenever it rains, my son knows that the expression coming out of me will be, we needed the rain. We need the rain.
The weather is there for people who want to talk but don't know what to say. Like, yeah. We need the interaction, but we don't need it bad enough to actually plan what we're going to talk about. It's just, there's weather. There's weather. You betcha the sky's still there.
That's very true. On the gray area, you can see the past. We've been doing this for a couple of weeks, and we archive each week's show at 98qcountry.com. We cover anything and everything. Gray and I have a shared spreadsheet, and during the week, neither one of us are very good at it yet, but we kind of share thoughts that we think our listeners may enjoy hearing about. And then when it comes to be Monday or Tuesday, we go and we say, oh, what's that about? Okay. Oh, yeah. Pickleball. Pickleball was one of the very first things that one of our listeners wanted us. I don't know. Do you want us to talk about it from the very first show? Or I'm not sure what exactly he was wanting to get out of a pickleball discussion.
I mean, you know, I think if we had been responsible, we would have planned a match. I think that may be what we should do, Joel, is plan to play pickleball, and we'll release the choicest 30 seconds of footage from our pickleball match.
I think
that might be the right way to do it. That would be worth putting up on the Facebook video feed. We might go viral for the injuries that you subject yourself to there.
I've never played pickleball.
I was about to lie. I was about to lie and say that I'd never played pickleball, but I think it might be missed on a lot of people that pickleball is old. Pickleball is not new. It's only newly popular. I played pickleball in 2007.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, yes. We were playing pickleball in the St. A's gym. There are other St. A's kids out there who can confirm. And actually, Jane Gustafson, I think she was the one who was running pickleball for us back then. I bet she's sitting there feeling validation because she was on the pickleball train back when the engine hadn't even been built yet.
Was it a legitimate attempt at pickleball?
Yes.
Or was it just space-limited sport?
No. So the old St. A's gym, which was the old St. A's church way back in the day.
The Holy Dome.
The single most echoey space in the world. That room was divided up as though for tennis. It had divisions on the floor for those kinds of sports. I don't know if pickleball uses the same lines as tennis or badminton, but we played badminton in there. We played volleyball, and the floor was oriented so you could have one game of volleyball covering most of it, or you could turn the nets sideways and have smaller courts for things like badminton, and you could do like three or four of those right in a row. And we did it with wooden paddles that were the same as current paddles.
Okay.
They were old, too. I'd actually really love to hear how old those paddles were, because they were probably from the 80s or 90s, if I had to guess. And we were playing with a wiffle ball on a tennis-heighted net, but pickleball, I'm a pickleball hipster. I mean, like, I played pickleball at the age of 12. I might have been a prodigy, but nobody cared enough to know. There wasn't attention on the sport. Joel is Googling things that may or may not confirm or deny everything I'm saying here.
Well, pickleball is basically a hybrid between tennis and ping pong, is what it is.
1965.
Right? And they took tennis, they took ping pong, and they said, we need something in between there. I can't do the whole tennis thing. Last time I tried to play tennis, I pulled a hamstring. And ping pong seems almost like a child's game, so I'm going in between that.
Right. It's easier than tennis, but I don't want to say it's harder than ping pong, because ping pong is hard. Yeah, Joel Pritchard.
Joel. Yeah, a guy named, smart guy named Joel.
Joel, Bill, and Barney. That's really a leg of a proud triangle Joel.
Sounds like an accounting lawyer firm. Trust the accounting firm of Joel, Bill, and Barney with your
Bill, Barney, and Joel. One of these things is not like the others.
Yeah, pickleball's been around a little while, and it's obviously gained in popularity for whatever reason. I don't know why these things pick up. I mean, it is a way for people who maybe physically aren't able to play tennis to do this. But now you see the competitiveness. This is what we do. This is what human beings do. We take something that's, pickleball, we really enjoy it. Now, of course, there's national highly competitive and people fighting at tournaments and all that. So it's just what humans do with competition.
Yeah, right? We don't do moderation with anything. Moderation is impossible. It actually, I think a lack of moderation is basically what defines the human species. Hey, did you know that you can get minor gains in gas mileage when you add lead? How about we add lead to all of gasoline? Because we can mass produce, and that create, I mean, like, when you start looking at the percentage gains in energy, you start doing really stupid things like adding lead to gasoline or overplaying the most popular song of all time. Like, we don't do moderation. We're not built for it. We're not built for carefully controlled doses of the things we love. We want all of it in the face. Now.
So the pickleball ball is hard, right?
It's a wiffle ball.
It's a wiffle ball.
It's basically the same as a wiffle ball.
So if you get hit with it, it's not a big deal.
No. If you take a top speed pickleball to the center of your back, it's going to sting a little bit, but you're not going to feel it by the end of the match.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to get hit by one, but like if you made me pick a ball to get hit with, the pickleball's up there.
See, I'm in. I'm in to try pickleball. It's just that I've never even been presented with the opportunity. And I think we will more now with the YMCA down the line. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe a gym there. They're talking about pickleball courts being developed here in the city. So there's more opportunities. But the big cities, even like the Hodag Dome in Rhinelander and the big cities, they literally have people standing in line in the morning waiting for, you know, access to pickleball courts in these big cities.
Well, I think part of the popularity is fed by the fact that the demand is being met. You know, you've got two sides of popularity. You've got the demand and you've got the supply. And if all you've got is supply, then you've got a fad that's dead. Think fidget spinners. If all you've got is demand, then you've just got an unmet thing and hopefully we can do something about it. But I think part of it honestly comes down to the fact that pickleball is geared at a slightly older audience, and that audience votes strongly. I think politics is tied into pickleball. I think there's, I mean, like, hey, if I'm a politician and I want to get something passed locally, I know part of my promise are a pickleball court.
Pickleball court, sure, sure.
Like, hey, I'm if I'm running for mayor, I'm promising pickleball.
And plus, we don't have the obscure scoring system of tennis where you, it's 15 love, it's 30 all, it's deuce, it's advantage. Just the whole tennis scoring system is very confusing.
That's how it was designed.
I know.
It was intentionally made that way so that poor people wouldn't understand how to play it. At the time tennis was invented, they invented a scoring system that couldn't be riddled out by just looking at it so that the game couldn't be copied. That's how snooty people are. They invented a game, they made it harder for themselves just because, hey, if it's harder for us, it's harder for them too, and we don't like them. Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face.
So you can only score when you serve, you play to 11, you got to win by 2. All right, so that sounds like a pretty simple scoring system.
Pretty basic rally system, rally game.
It's all right. So hats off to those. I know some people play pickleball in the upper level of the library here in Park Falls in the wintertime. They have some pickleball stuff up there. So hats off to what's that? What's so funny?
I'm sorry. I immediately picture heated matches on the roof. Like I'm hearing like intense orchestra music and like near miss when we're almost falling off the edge, arms windmilling.
I'm sure in the bigger cities, New York, there's people playing pickleball on top with wiffle balls falling to the ground.
Well, I mean, like, imagine the hero falls off the roof. He's lost his pickleball game against the villain, or he hasn't lost the match, but he's about to fall off the roof and die, but it doesn't matter. Everybody's holding their bated breath, and a helicopter rises up above the edge of the roof. He fell and caught the helicopter. He can still play, and the pickleball match isn't over yet. Like, it just, oh, I've got some writing to do. I'll be right back.
All right, so we fulfilled one of our listeners' requests. We talked, not sure if anybody really gained anything.
For better or worse is the phrase I like to use.
We talked about pickleball. The Masters Golf Tournament. I want to talk about that, and then we'll jump on something that you want to talk about, because Masters was a week ago, this past weekend. Great finish. Rory McIlroy getting the Grand Slam, and he's been trying for years and years to get the Masters. Great story. But there was a story that I saw away from the Masters that made me intrigued me a little bit more. It is the guy on opening on the first two rounds of the Masters. If there is an odd number of golfers at the Masters, they go out in pairs in the Masters. So round number one, you have all the golfers going out in pairs who have qualified for the Masters tournament. And that can vary. That number can vary. So if there is an odd number, that second spot for that group, that group of two only has one,
yep,
is filled by the gentleman who is a member of the Masters Club who is considered to be the best golfer at the Masters Club.
Oh.
And there was, I'll get you the name here, but there was a guy who did it for many, many, many years, and he retired. And now another guy had a chance to do it this past Masters. And these are really good golfers. But what's unique about it is that golfer, the guy who's filling in that open space just so there's two golfers and the pace of the game goes normally, he doesn't have the name on his back of his jersey. The caddy does not have a name. He is like a ghost. He is like an unidentified golfer out there.
He's like the Stig in Top Gear?
Yes, just playing. He's not. And the score doesn't count. He could shoot 50 under par. Doesn't count. He's just there to fill the space.
Okay, anybody who knows Lord of the Rings knows a character named Tom Bombadil. And Tom, have you ever heard of Tom Bombadil?
No, I have not.
So Tom Bombadil exists to just pop in at the worst of moments, demonstrate that he is completely all-powerful, and that he has no interest in solving anybody's issues. He pops in singing a song, does something that is impossible. It's just like, basically Tom Bombadil is God. He pops up, you don't know why he's there, you don't know where he's about to go, and then he's gone. He's just gone. Poof. The moment he does something incredible and you start to ask a question, you turn to look at him and Tom is gone. Yep. Like, it's just a ghost. He just exists. He's only there when we need him and he's not when we don't.
So the Phil guy this year was Michael McDermott, an Augusta National member, and the current non-competitive marker, they call him, fills in to create the pairing for the first tee time when there is an odd number of players. So he's off on the very first tee box early in the morning. So Michael McDermott is the guy. He doesn't know. He may or may not be playing 36 holes of golf that day. He probably knows a couple days ahead of time, but I thought it was very interesting.
Well, I'm kind of curious by the result you got there, because it says the current he fills in to create a pairing for the first tee time. So does he actually play the full round?
He does.
Okay.
He does.
That paragraph almost implied that he tees off and then just leaves.
Yeah. I mean, because it's kind of unfair if you have an odd number and you have that one guy, the pace of his game will be different than everybody else's because he's waiting a lot.
He'll be on the heels of the guys in front of him. Yeah.
Right. So there was another guy, Jeff Knox, who held that role for many, many years. And it's not on the screen here, but I had heard a story that he actually held for a while the club record at the Masters, shooting like an 11 under par for 18 holes. I mean, these are legitimate really good golfers who will probably shoot par or maybe one under for the tournament. So most people would never know, other than the fact that the guy just doesn't have the name on his back. You don't even know who he is.
That's like Wilt Chamberlain only allowed to play in one game a year because he can't drive farther than 5 miles from the stadium. Like, it's just a weird imposition. Like, what? This guy clearly should have a chance to qualify. What the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, if he does qualify, then you don't have the odd number and he becomes irrelevant. So maybe they should actually let him try to qualify when there are odd numbers instead of just, you're a placeholder.
So if you ever go to the Masters, if you ever have the honor of going to the Masters, go there opening morning on Thursday, catch the very first tee time, and you'll notice that the guy does not have a name. Well, if there's an odd number that year, there may not be an odd number that year.
Yeah, if you see the golfing ghost, you know that it's math is to blame.
I think they probably set it up to be even, but then people, for whatever reason, can't make it, or a plane gets whatever it may be. Stuff happens. So, very interesting. All right. What do you got? What do you want to get off your chest today on the gray area?
Actually, I saw something today that I just kind of gave me a little chuckle, and I thought I learned something about bread today.
Okay.
I've drawn a conclusion. You know, the smartest of people, at one point, Albert Einstein sat down and he had a thought that occurred to him and it bothered him too much to let it go. And what do you know? The theory of relativity popped up. Okay. I'm not saying that I'm comparable in any way.
Never know.
So I was at Quick Trip. This must be scientific. And I grabbed what they call a sandwich.
A sandwich,
S-A-M-M. And
sounds like Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh yeah, it's an Uncrustable sandwich. Is what it is. It's
right.
It's the Quick Trip version of an Uncrustable, and on it was a phrase that just became a ramp that I coasted into the sky off of, and that phrase was made from real bread.
Meat?
And I thought, real bread?
Okay, it said it right on there. Made from real bread.
And I thought I could ask myself, what is
real
bread? And there's two ways I could go with that. Real bread implies that there's fake bread out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to assume we all know what bread is. So let's answer the more salient question. What is fake bread? Now, I asked myself that question, Joel. What is fake bread? And I thought, you know what? Let's use a yardstick from out there in the world. Something else that's fake, maybe we can apply the same logic to. And you know what phrase came to mind when I was thinking of fake bread?
What's that?
Fake news.
There you go.
Fake news. So let's just look. What is fake news? I'm pretty sure fake news is anything that is any news that I don't like, or it's news that doesn't make me look good.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So if fake news is news that doesn't make me look good, then fake bread is bread that doesn't make me look good.
Or doesn't make you feel good, maybe.
Right. Bread that doesn't make me feel good. And all bread is incredibly carb loaded.
Yeah.
So all bread doesn't make me feel good. So all bread is fake bread.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do with this, Joel? There's no real bread out there.
I've always had the concept that generally if it's white bread, it's probably not the best bread for you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh,
if that's
absolutely.
I don't think that's a blanket truth, but I think it is. That generally the brown breads are not always, but have a little better nutritional quality for you than the white bread. And that's why you go to the stores and usually the white bread is the cheapest.
Call it white bread of death for that very reason, because it's just the things you have to do to make bread white are not good for you. there's no version of it. I'm just putting myself in your shoes, though. Just like, God, I named the segment after him and he's this stupid. That was my thought today, though, was real bread. What is real bread? And the answer was, I mean, it was an answer. One of the answers all time. That's what happens if you give me the floor, Joel. I'm gonna examine what does real bread mean. And I didn't get that answer. I know what fake bread is, though. All bread is fake bread.
Well, that reminds me of the time, and maybe you've seen this too. I think Austin pointed this out to me after my wife did several years ago. There's a product called Muscle Milk.
Yeah,
Muscle
totally.
Milk. And what's the line that's very close to the big label on Muscle Milk? Below it, it says, does not contain real milk.
Oh, no.
So it's like you have the name right in there, but there's none in there.
There's worse. There's worse, because on the face of that, Muscle Milk contains no milk. What's the logical question? Does it contain muscle?
It might.
There must be muscle in Muscle Milk. Here, I'll Google it with you.
Well, this one, I'm sure there's different versions of Muscle Milk. But this one obviously did not, because I remember Austin looked at me. He says, "What? How does that make sense?" He held it right up to me. How does that make sense at all? Does not contain real milk. It's the things we ponder in life, right?
If we're having a discussion about what labels should mean and what words mean, and all of a sudden somebody walks in with a stack of $20 bills, I might change my mind about what we were discussing a moment ago.
27 past 9, I want to talk a little bit about the rogue, troublemaking robin that's hanging around my house and whatever else. Give me something you want to talk about.
Well, I'll admit, Joel, I'm staring at where your highlighter just was there, and I'm curious. The first word is robin, but the second part of that is very curious to me.
All right. And I talked a little bit about this, I think, yesterday. People might have missed it, but we'll talk about the rogue robin.
I know you wanted a topic from me, but the topic from me is your topic, because the rogue robin, pull the curtain back a little bit. What's the second piece of your little note there?
It says robin-owl poop.
Now, why am I intrigued in this? Because owls don't poop.
All right.
So here I am sitting. Joel's got a note that I'm looking at. It says robin-owl poop. And I know owls don't poop and that another bird is involved. So I'm very curious where. All right, Joel, we've set the scene.
We'll break open King Tut's tomb here in just a moment.
Join Greg Gunderson live on 98Q Country at the St. Croix Rod's first pre-opener in-house fishing event. Saturday, April 26th, starting at 9 a.m. Enjoy pro seminars from Brian Bro Brostal, Joel Nelson, and Dr. Jason Haffen. A free fish fry from Catch and Cook, hot deals on St. Croix Rods and 7 reels, prizes, and the latest gear. It's all happening Saturday, April 26th at St. Croix Rod, home of the best rods on earth in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Details at stcroixrodfactorystore.com.
Did you know 98Q Country now posts some of their best content online for you to listen anytime?
Wow.
It's just at 98QCountry.com. Go to the top of the page. Here, I'll do it with you. 98QCountry.com. Yes, the numbers, 98, then the letter Q, country, dot, that's the period button down there, com, C-O-M. And then just hit enter. There you go.
Oh.
Now when you're at 98QCountry.com, simply click podcast at the top of the... No, not the logo. You're already on the website. Click 98Q Podcast. It's in the top right corner. You click it once. Boy, I thought this was going to be easy. There you go. Some of our most recent and most valuable content is there, like Joel's reality radio segments.
Aha.
You can even check on old shopping show segments to see what kind of deals you can take advantage of.
Aha.
Even some of Gray's content in the afternoon show.
Ooh.
It's the 98Q podcast section of 98QCountry.com. 98Q Country content available on demand.
Aha.
98Q Country.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
This is a paid sponsorship, not an endorsement by this program or station. Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
If you've thought about trying Ozempic, Wegovy, or other GLP-1 medications, you probably know that they can be expensive and hard to get access to. But not anymore. There's this great company called Zelthy. They're 100% online, and if you qualify, their prescribers can prescribe medications like Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive. That's right, no long waits at the doctor's office or pharmacy. Everything is shipped right to your door. Zelthy can also provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less. This is a great time to see if you qualify for GLP-1 medications with Zelthy, and all you have to do to get started is send them a text. Just text CARE to 200-300. Don't wait. Text right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text the word CARE to 200-300. That's CARE to 200-300. CARE to 200-300.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
Home, auto, and life insurance. Keeping track of it all can feel overwhelming. That's why Forward Insurance makes it simple with bundled insurance options designed to save you time and money. With one point of contact and personalized coverage, you'll get the peace of mind you need without the stress. Insurance made simple. Call Forward Insurance today to get started, helping you protect what matters most. Not FDIC insured, no bank guarantees. May lose value, not insured by any government agency, not a deposit.
Len Stankel, owner of Complete Rain Gutters, has had his mine in the gutter for over 30 years. Trust the expert. Call 715-499-4216 or visit CompleteRainGutter.com for your free quote today.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers today. Our high in the mid-50s. I think we will see a little more sunshine by late this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the 30s. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
98 Q Country.
And more of the gray area here. Special Tuesday edition. I was hauled away by the authorities yesterday. Was unavailable. Oh, kind of hauled away by them.
You had civic duty to attend to.
Well, I was at a courthouse. They wouldn't let me leave. So that's detained, right?
Am I free to go?
There was coffee and cookies, though. So I,
yeah, no. Was there a steel toilet? That'll tell me where you were.
I didn't use the restroom.
Your answer was incompatible with improv comedy, but it was still funny somehow.
I chose not to use the restroom. Nature did not call.
Boycotted it. You canceled the restroom.
Well, our weekly list of potpourri of items includes one that is labeled as robin-owl poop. And for those of you who tuned in, was it yesterday or last week I was talking about this rogue robin? Now, a couple of weeks ago, I decided when it was nice out, there were some lower windows on our house that are kind of double paned where you got to take them off and then you can clean the inside and the outside. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling a little spring cleaning, so I cleaned all those windows. They look better than they've ever looked before, and there obviously was a reflection in those windows now that previously wasn't there. Mm-hmm. With the dust. So we have a robin that has come back ever since we've been in this house for 9 years. Every single year it comes back. Not sure if it's the same one, but the nest is there, it stays there, they come back, and there's always a robin there. Well, this robin, there's just one. And I'm not sure if it's lost its mate or what happened, but this robin has taken to the windows that I have washed. And my wife Googled it, and she thinks it's because it's mating season, and the robin thinks that there's another bird in its area trying to take over its area. It sees its reflection in the window, but I have four windows, and I should have taken pictures of it. Would have been great for the radio. But the robin pecking at the windows, just constantly, all day long, is pecking at the windows, and now has graduated to one window where it's just obsessed with pecking at the window. I don't think it's going to break it. It's a pretty solid window. And they're obviously, along with this robin, being on the various ledges of the house. There's droppings and all kinds of stuff on there. So we were out there last week, and I told my wife, I said, well, let's take the, we have a fake owl that we put in the backyard. It was supposed to keep away red squirrels and chipmunks. It doesn't work. It's just there for decoration, basically. So they took this. I said, let's put the owl by the window. Maybe the robin doesn't like an owl. So we set it by one of the windows, the fake owl. And my wife reported back to me the following day that not only was the robin particularly at that window where I put the owl, it ignores the other three windows. It wants to be at that window where the fake owl is. And not only is there excessively pecking at the reflection in the window and pooping on the windowsill, but a couple of different times she has noticed that the robin actually jumped on top of the owl's head and pooped on the owl, on the plastic owl, just to send a statement. At that point, my wife and I determined this owl has issues, or this robin has some serious issues going on here.
So this is how we arrived at the phrase robin hyphen owl poop. It's actually robin poop on an owl. It is not, I mean, you could classify it as owl poop. Now, this reminds me of when I learned that a compliment sandwich is actually a criticism sandwich on compliment bread. We have a terminology issue here.
Compliment sandwich.
So, I mean, bear with me. People say, all right, you can't just give people criticism. You got to give them a compliment, a criticism, and then a compliment. Mm-hmm. It's called a compliment sandwich. And I thought, no, it's not, because if you take a piece of bread and you put down ham and you put down another piece of bread, that is not a bread sandwich. It is a ham sandwich, and therefore the sandwich's name is determined by the filling. Mm-hmm. By what's in the middle. So if you're going to compliment constructive criticism, compliment me, that is not a compliment sandwich. That's just compliment bread hiding a criticism. That's a criticism sandwich. And I won't hear it. I won't hear it. I won't entertain anybody who disagrees.
That was a really quick transition from owl poop to bread sandwiches, and we went there really, really fast.
Well, so, okay, my bad. I've been holding that in for a while now. The compliment sandwich thing actually has been brewing for like 6 or 7 years, and I didn't notice that there was going to be an opportunity to vent that. So it's like a crack in an airplane window. By the time you realize the window's cracked, whoosh, it's already all outside. It's too late. You've already been... Through the plane window. It's sorry.
This is the gray area 98Q. Normally we do this Monday mornings at 8. I was not available yesterday, so we're doing it this morning. We talk about all kinds of issues, all kinds of things. You're always welcome to text us through the Civic Media app. If you have something you'd like us to talk about, we certainly would like to do that. I will keep you updated on the robin slash owl situation. I was in my basement yesterday, by the way, and I thought I jumped the robin from the inside. And if anybody in my neighborhood heard a elderly man go, "Aah!" That was me yelling inside at the robin, just trying to spook it.
It sounds more like the robin spooked you.
I think it's true. I'm thinking this robin is going to come get me.
I love when people bump into each other and they both scare each other, and then one ends up angry as though it's either of their fault. I'm picturing it's a, oh yeah, there's shades of Wabbit Season, Duck Season involved. It's definitely a Warner Brothers cartoon between you and the robin happening in my head right now.
I've never been afraid of a robin before, but I am a little bit. I am a little bit right now.
Robin in the radio. I'm just picturing your Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit. I want to talk a little bit today about custom license plates, because this has always been a point. I think people have become a little bit numb to it, but my wife the other day pointed out to me, she came back from the grocery store. And I hope the person who has this license plate is listening, because that would make it even better.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I saw someone. She says, what do you think the person would mean if they had a license plate and the license plate customized said, no pants? No pants license plate. Does that mean that they're a person who likes to wear shorts in the middle of winter? Does that
maybe they sell skirting for homes? I'm skirting. Thinking it's a skirt joke.
Skirting, okay.
No, could that's be. Sorry. No, it's I should have thrown that one away. I didn't need to let that one out. Yeah.
We threw around several things, as you can imagine.
I've got nothing. Why would you put no pants? I mean, like, don't peek into the car. You might learn the answer. And why does this person have a no pants license plate? Oh, wow.
I always go back to, when I think of weird license plates, I always go back to, and I think I can play this here.
We're going to get an FCC violation.
No, I don't think so. It's just one word. Hang on, let me get by the thing here.
No, this word is permissible.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I'm here to pick up my new plates. My name's Kramer, Cosmo Kramer.
Kramer. All right.
All right.
Sign right here, please.
Okay. Thanks.
Got his new license plate.
Ass man. No, these don't belong to me. I'm not the ass man. I think there's been a mistake.
What's your name again?
Cosmo Kramer.
Cosmo Kramer. You are the ass man.
So he goes to get his license plate, for those of you who aren't familiar with Seinfeld, and he got the wrong plate, and the plate said ass man, and those are the ones were designated to him, and he embraced it. He put it on his car, and he embraced it. So that's what I always think of when I think of customized plates. I always go back to that.
Did you see that there was somebody a couple of years ago on the East Coast who was getting a lot of people's tickets because of what they put on their plate? Do you hear anything about that?
No.
It was one of those things where, yeah, we didn't see this. Like, you couldn't blame anybody because nobody possibly could have seen it coming. And I don't remember why, but this person wanted a vanity plate, and what they put on was no tag, N-O-T-A-G, with no space in it. And that's what it said, no tag. So driving down the road, and again, there was a reason for it. It was a simple reason, and I don't remember what it was, but frankly, it doesn't matter. Because what happened was that person started receiving every single ticket from that state that was issued for no license plates. Because the police, when they issued tickets to cars without license plates, they had to fill out the field in the ticket that said what the license plate said. And if there was no license plate, and that was why they were writing the ticket, they wrote the phrase, no tag. Okay. And so it turned out that if your license plate matched what was in that field on the automatic system, it would mail you the ticket to the address associated with it from the DMV.
He got all the tickets.
So some happy-go-lucky fool, for whatever reason, again, doesn't matter, but a happy, probably family, cute memory reason. Yep, just no tag. I'm no tag. And now I have 6,000 parking tickets. All of them.
Maybe you've run across the stories before of the DMV has released the vanity plates, names that were rejected.
Yes, I did. And for the first time in my life, I encountered that a couple months ago.
And there are actually names that people submit for vanity plates that they reject, for whatever reason. And the list is pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. So the list of rejected license plates is awesome, but nothing is funnier than the state representative they put on camera to sometimes read that list. And yes, obviously, they're going to leave off all of the worst of them, but I think it was New Jersey. There was it was Illinois. It must have been Illinois. Giannoulias reveals 2024 rejected license plates. Well, actually, we kind of land on something that's really quite interesting. There's something now called AlgoSpeak. A lot of people will know the phrase unalived as a replacement for the word killed. Why are people saying the word unalived? Well, they're saying that because things like TikTok, things like Twitter, X, whatever, social media is automatically detecting certain words. And when it detects things like the word kill, it will hide your video from the world. Like, automatically, there's a robot on TikTok that goes around listening for the word blood. And when it hears the word blood in your video,
done.
Yep, it's not going to tell you anything, but all of a sudden your views on that video are just going to become nothing. And it's called shadow banning or shadowing. It's hiding something from public sight without telling that person that they've been hidden. Mm-hmm. And so you get something called AlgoSpeak designed to work around those algorithms. So you'll hear stuff like that. It's going to become more and more common. And it's going to show up on these license plates like... I saw one on there. I can't say any of those. I feel like I'm going to get FCC'd.
Yeah, I think we'll just leave all those alone. You can probably understand why most of them aren't they say no.
Yeah, just Google it. 2024 rejected license plates.
But how great would that job be? That's not even a job opening, a job listing that wouldn't appear anywhere on Indeed or ZipRecruiter. You're the guy. You're the person who decides whether it is or it isn't acceptable for the general public to see that on your car.
I'm going to raise the possibility that that job is not a voluntary position.
It's probably true. Considering
that printing the license plates is an involuntary position.
There you go.
I'm thinking somebody in black and white stripes is probably responsible for going and telling the foreman, "Boss, we got one that won't pass muster today." And then the foreman of whatever prison we're talking about.
Is that your official impersonation of someone incarcerated?
This is the go-to prisoner voice. I'm a nice guy. I've got kids. I got three daughters at home, but this is just how I sound. They're good kids. They're good. They don't take after their father.
All right. So we'll move on.
You brought it here.
I did bring it here, and I'm regretting it a little bit right now. I wanted to talk a little bit about, speaking of jobs, maybe jobs that are not listed as available or are interesting jobs. I was thinking to myself, as the NHL and the NBA seasons came to a close, and the teams, NBA especially, if you've ever been to an NBA game, you know it's a hype fest.
I mean,
it's you got the guy in the microphone saying, "Welcome to Pfizer Forum. Get on your feet, fans. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." I mean, it's just a hype fest.
Well, what blew my mind wasn't that it happened, but that it worked. The fans were ready for that. They were waiting, mm-hmm. and they responded. And I thought, wow, I'm definitely at my first basketball game. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm mm-hmm. just saying it. What if it's the last game of the season and your team is completely eliminated from any contention, all right? And you have to be that guy, the hype man for that game. Let's say it's even a game that if your team wins it, they now have less of a chance of getting the number one pick than they do. It's obvious to everyone that this is a game that the team wants to tank because they want more ping pong balls to get the number one pick, all right? Which job is harder? Being an NBA hype man for a team that doesn't want their team to win, or being any president's previous press secretary?
Ooh.
Which job is harder? Because both situations, you are obligated to do what your boss has told you to read.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I think the presidential press secretary, like, so we've all been there, and especially I think in recent generations, but I think this is probably cross-generational, but a lot of us have had to deal with realizing, and I thankfully that's not the case right now because Darla is awesome, but
yes,
we've all ran into a boss who demonstrates that they're not familiar with what you do, or mm-hmm. or even sometimes they'll demonstrate that they're not familiar with what the company does, and it's like, I'm helping you with this email that you're firing someone and you need help with the email. Like, come on, this doesn't match. And like I said, not here, never in Park Falls have I encountered that kind of role. But I think a lot of us know what it's like to, we have to pretend that our boss is a genius. And it's like, all right, that's going to be particularly difficult. I think it's kind of like that. I think it's, we have to pretend this game is amazing. And some people are just better at it than others. You know who comes to mind? Stephen A. Smith. He'll make an argument out of nothing. He can turn it into content right. for a TV show. Even if he agrees with everybody in the room, he'll find a way to turn it into a loud adversarial conversation because that's good TV content.
Right, right.
I'm thinking that the press secretary, the hype man thing is, no matter what happens, it's the best thing ever that just happened. That's what's going on. It's all the best thing ever.
I mean, the NBA hype guy, you know that he's doing his thing. He's like, get on your feet now. We don't sit until we score the first basket. Let's go. And every time he pauses, he thinks to myself, what am I doing here?
I love the hot mic.
What am I doing here? Like, what am I doing?
Like, I love the hot mic 2 seconds before he hits the button. Like, oh, crap, here we go again. Let's go. Let's go.
NBA hype man or a president's press secretary, which one has to hold the line and lie more?
What is this guy doing? He's defending the nation. That's what he's doing. Fox News, that's exactly what he's doing. I really don't know. This is what are we doing?
And I ran into something yesterday that, not yesterday, but last week, the Lakeland school system is very good at always updating us on all their scores. They have like an email loop, and they keep me in on the loop. So they give us all the scores and information about Lakeland. And one of the coaches sent over a score the other day that just made me laugh. When I say something and my wife laughs out loud, it's instant radio material, because my wife usually just like, whatever, you're on the radio. You're that guy. So the score that the Lakeland coach sent over, which was quickly corrected, said Lakeland is a softball score. Said final score today, Lakeland 0, softball 6. And I just said that to my wife, and she laughed out loud. I said, why is that funny? She said, I don't know. I said, I feel like Lakeland just took on the entire existence of softball.
Yeah, and lost.
And lost only 6-0, which is very impressive.
How'd the game go? We didn't even play it. Softball beat us. Like, softball. We didn't even meet the other team. Couldn't pick up a bat. The glove just didn't fit. Like, what does that even look like? Losing to the sport itself.
And the coach quickly recognized the error and put Anago 6 instead of, but it was too late. It was too late. I just found that those little things in life that just make you giggle and make you laugh.
You know, at the end of the day, we don't know why people laugh. We don't know what humor is. We don't know what function it serves within the grand scheme of the human design.
But we know it's healthy.
Yes, yes. What I believe is that it is an option that we need because the other ones are bad. You can be angry, you can be afraid, you can be sad, or when something unexpected happens, the fourth option is, hey, maybe it's funny. I feel like laughter is the release of tension that would have been anger, sadness, or fear if it wasn't laughter. So there's this special category of having our expectations subverted that is way more acceptable to us. And while we don't understand it, we see the marker of it, and that's laughter.
Right, right.
I think laughter is right there with fear, anger, and sadness. I think it is the fourth pillar of that same rooftop. And what they are is tension. It's those are the feelings you get when your expectations aren't met. That's all there is to it. But there's only one of them that's like A-okay every time. You know? Anger, you gotta process. Sadness, you gotta deal with. Fear, you gotta do all kinds of things depending on who you are. But laughter, cool. You just gotta accept it, enjoy it. Move on to another one.
And you, if you don't have laughter in your life, because it's easy now to go days without laughing with our world. So you got to find places. You got to what makes you laugh? What movie? Who do you like that makes you laugh? If you have a DVD or if you have a show available to watch, turn it on for a half hour. And just even if you don't laugh out loud, if you laugh internally, it's healthy. It's so healthy to just get your mind shut off from whatever else it is that's consuming, whether it's politics or your work or your kids or whatever, just to turn it off and just find something that just make that's just silly. That's what I love about Jim Carrey, is he's just silly, and it's a total escape when I watch anything that he's in, for the most part. Yep. It's just an escape.
It's Bruce Almighty for me. That is the instant release. Well, yeah. And you were imitating him the other day because you had jury duty, and anybody who knows Jim Carrey knows
the Grinch
Stole Christmas, and yeah.
jury duty.
Blackmail. Jury duty. Yeah. Just loathe entirely.
Well,
yeah.
We do the gray area typically Monday mornings at 8 o'clock. We have delved through a plethora of topics, which is a typical gray area. It's just we take an hour just to kind of have a little fun, and hopefully it made some of our listeners laugh just a little bit. Whether you're laughing at us or with us, we don't care.
Oh yeah, I'm wearing face paint. I am the clown. You squeak the nose, ha 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 ha, move on. That's good. What I'm here for.
Good to see you, Gray.
Thank you, Joel.
Gray Area, we archive it for you also if you want to check it out at 98qcountry.com.